just how much of an asset is culture to the Caribbean, but also to the other SIDS areas? I mean, as you know, we just heard the deputy executive director of UN Women talking about how she didn't feel that we should be talking about small island states. We should be talking about the significance. And culture is one of those huge areas, isn't
it? It's huge. As a matter of fact, culture is everything. Whether we talk about lived culture or culture in terms of the art forms and the plastic and the things that we sell, right? One of the reasons why I care about American Heritage Month, and I'm bringing that into it as Caribbean people, like this year's theme, we talk about contributions of Caribbean immigrants to American history, life, and culture. Because we have transformed culture. I mean, I think that's more so the case of music. Let's look at the music industry. The first gold-selling album was Harry Belafonte. That was culture, right? And so culture, music culture, dance culture, has always been, let's say, a part of the fabric of the industrial growth as well as the social growth, the connections of people. And I think music is always the one that I start because that's so clear to everybody when you think about from the 1950s of Calypso being a huge hit and then come now to dancehall music, is a very easy one to see and have people understand. But food culture also has been transformative of the global north in terms of immigrants going to Toronto or London or US. Food culture has also transformed those societies. And so for me, it's important that when we come to the Caribbean, when you have a cruise shipping pier, it is absolutely no excuse why a food shipping pier would not have a restaurant that has Caribbean culture. I was appalled to visit a cruise shipping pier in Jamaica some years ago, and all of the fast food chains were American fast food chains. I don't care that you're American fast food, American owned company. In fact, we also have fast food chains in the Caribbean, which are quote-unquote Jamaican-owned, which actually serve a fast food version of our food. So if you're looking for a quality, you could have had one of those companies that already are quote-unquote international standard also have a fast food chain in your cruise shipping pier. But you should never have a cruise shipping pier in a Caribbean country where people come off and there's no element to show that they're in another country. That is unacceptable.
Why are the Caribbean countries such cultural heavyweights?
I don't know. I think we have a crossroads culture. I think the fact that our culture comes out of, first of all, a lot of culture comes out of quote-unquote suffering, right? A lot of music, poetry, you know, what you think about the great poets of Yeats and these guys.
It was a shield, a kind of defense in a way.
Yes, the Irish poets and Welsh singers, etc. You know, all these like underdog people tend to have like very powerful art form. I don't know why that is, but think about at least very soulful art forms. And so I think that is one reason why you see that ferment, if you will, of a cultural expression coming out in our music, in our food, in our dance. When you talk about resilience, we've had to be resilient in order to live as human after being dehumanized through the slave experience and still having to find a reason to live. And I always find interesting that when you think about this, the quality of being, that there's something about probably about the African culture where life itself was so valued that even like though life was hard, the percentage of people who actually committed suicide was very low. If you think about it, they kind of just struggled to stay alive. And you have to say there's something probably in the culture, in the spiritual culture of the people, that made them want to live despite the hardships. And so I really do feel like it does us a disservice when our governments do not act on that, when we sort of have watered down some of our experiences, when we sort of have young people who don't know certain things and it's not taught in a certain way in our schools, it's left to chance. Our history is not taught in a way that kind of allows us to embody our heroes in ways that make sense. And you do polls in the Caribbean and young people are like lost.
So how do you reverse that dilution and stop the kind of cultural appropriation and the monetization, which you were talking about earlier in the room there? How do you defend these island states who've got these strong cultures from that kind of...
I've been thinking about that because I think culture is a living, breathing thing, so it's going to evolve. But I want for us to find a way to be intentional about having our young people in schools be proud of who they are. Not because they don't see it on TV means it's not valuable. And so it means that we have got to find a way to to be intentional as ministers of education, ministers of cultures, not to relegate it just to the festival time. Yes, the festivals are nice and they're wonderful, but you have to make it part and parcel of the ways of being. And now that we are, you know, obsessed about how ChatGPT is going to take over our schools, maybe it's the time to return to culture. Because even if you have to program ChatGPT, it won't be able to live and breathe and create something that's authentic, I think. Well, who knows, because I think it's up for grabs these days. But I do think that we have an opportunity to return to culture in the way we treat, the way we teach history, or the way we teach even mathematics and physics. So we find a way to use our fruit, for example, to teach chemistry. You know, use the mango as a tool for talking about sour and sweet and acidity and pH. So we see everything as culture, or a culture of food should also be part of our economic studies, right? So as opposed to we're doing examples and cases which have nothing to do with what we see and eat every day.
You were talking earlier about the fact that the culture of the Caribbean and other small island states is under threat, that it's important that local people retain local ownership of culture.
Definitely. I would like to see more attention paid to local ownership and culture. So, for example, I don't know if it's just that people enjoy being seen in our culture. So more people are studying to be performers than they are to be, like, say, the producers and the backstage people and the lawyers and the executive producers. So if we look at, say, a reggae industry, which is now exported, we don't have anybody in the tour that owns a touring company. We don't have many venues that we own. We don't have many people who are in the publishing business. So it's like, yes, it's great everybody can sing and that, but everybody's not going to be a big star anyway, quite frankly. There are only a few people born with that, you know, born with that star of big stardom. So the rest of us who love music and, well, okay, we're not going to make it as a star, perhaps we should go into production. We're good enough to know the good song when we see it, and to recognize stardom when we see it. Why not educate us to understand the business and recognize you probably can even make more money, actually.
So Bob Marley belongs to the world, but first and foremost, he has to belong to Jamaica.
Exactly.
And be in the hearts of Jamaicans.
Exactly. So we need to have, I really think that by now, first of all, there's a big controversy whether or not Bob Marley should be a national hero or not. And most Jamaicans are fed up. And my latest thinking was, oh, I know why he's not a national hero. I finally figured out. It's because he has locks. But I think it's high time we recognize the critical spiritual and psychological influence that Bob Marley has had over millions of people, just as much as Marcus Garvey, if not more. Because Marcus Garvey was more for, like, black power, per se. But I like to think that Bob Marley occupied a very important space, because when he was touring US colleges back in those days, I guarantee that many of the people who now consider themselves progressives probably were listening to Bob Marley when they were in college. When you think about some of those college towns that those guys played in, them and Toots and, you know, people like Burning Spirit, that's hardcore music, are playing college towns where almost the entire audience is white. So now you have a progressive left that's conscious or trying to be conscious, and you wonder, where did that come from? It came from the music.
This conference this week is fundamentally about sustainable development, and we've been hearing today, you know, a lot about the importance of increasing funding and equality. Where does culture fit into all this week?
Most times when the agencies think about culture, they think about it as an afterthought. I say this because back in the day when I used to work at the Inter-American Development Bank, one of the things we were trying to do in terms of economic empowerment of the black community in Latin America, I was trying to have them fund heritage tourism as a way to put money into those communities. It was not us, I didn't sell it at the time, because the bank saw, okay, let's have this big pop star come and perform. And they missed the boat entirely. So the conference at that time, the IDB hosted, was, oh, we're going to have this big Brazilian pop star. But I couldn't get the money to do the actual project.
Things have really changed now, haven't they, on that school?
Well, I hope so. I really hope that they're willing to put money into supporting cultural tourism, heritage tourism, that allows these after-school enrichment programs to get some support, and we can use competitions and festivals. I was in Colombia a couple years ago, the most awesome music festival. I'd go back just to hear the music. we should be, our festivals should be such that it's not just a local thing. It should be such that our folk festival should be attracting tourists. Because when you see all these little kids performing in schools, you go like, oh my God, this is a great, the quality is high. By the time you get to the gold medal part of it, it's exquisite performance. And these are just teachers. They're not even professional thing of doing the choreography and the costuming. So I think we have a lot of talent, and I think the government needs to find small ways in which, for example, I think that when we have the festival week, there should be a way to publicize it so that tourists know, for example, plan your week so that you will catch the gold medal event of the tour of the children's festival. That would be a help.
We've had plenty of uplifting culture here so far this week, and I hope and expect there'll be much more. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.